Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. We've had a couple of special elections to vacant seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. We're going to talk about all of that with Scott Parkinson. Scott, great having you back with us.
It's a pleasure to be back, Loman. Thank you.
Two special elections in the Sunshine State, Florida. Democrats made an all-out effort, outspent Republicans by tens of millions of dollars. What was the outcome of all of that?
Yeah, so just to sort of hit refresh for the listeners, in the first congressional district, Matt Gaetz was initially nominated by President Trump to be his attorney general. And after taking a lot of meetings with senators, he realized he wasn't going to have the votes from some of the moderates and the establishment in Washington, D.C. that sort of preferred the status quo and somebody not as aggressive as Matt Gaetz to be in that position. And rather than come back to the House, he decided not to be sworn into office on January 3rd. And so that created an opportunity for a special election in the first district. And that's sort of the panhandle of Florida, including Pensacola, big military community. And President Trump weighed in early. He endorsed Jimmy Patronis, who was the chief financial officer of Florida, which is basically the state treasurer. And Jimmy had won statewide office before, pretty high name ID. And he, you know, slogged it out there. And this is a bright red congressional district. So we never really thought that this race was at risk. But Patronis did win the special election yesterday. Then when you slide a little bit over to the east, more so in the Daytona area of Florida's 6th congressional district, this is the district that Ron DeSantis used to represent up until 2018 when he was elected governor. And Michael Waltz was the congressman there for the last three terms. Waltz was named by President Trump to be the national security advisor, and that created an immediate vacancy. So he scheduled another special election there. And Randy Fine was a state senator endorsed by President Trump. But the thing about this one was Fine was not from the district. And this one attracted a significant investment from the Democrats nationally. And Donald Trump did a teletown hall rally for Fine. So did Byron Donalds, the candidate for governor in Florida. So did Ben Shapiro. There were really a lot of hands on deck to try to assist Randy Fine over the finish line here. And Fine did prevail. This is great news. It means that Republicans held both of those seats. And, you know, we've been dealing with really slim margins in the House of Representatives for a time. It was 218 to 215. But then we've had two Democrats that have passed away recently, and that's created the 218 to 213 dilemma, where you can still only lose a couple of seats. But by filling these vacant Republican seats, that puts us at 220 to 213 with just those two Democrat districts that will ultimately, I think, be blue seats when those specials are filled. So Republicans have a little bit more flexibility in the House of Representatives when it comes to advancing Donald Trump's agenda and the electoral mandate that delivered that majority in the 2024 election.
Meanwhile, in Wisconsin, there was a hotly contested race for a state Supreme Court seat. The news not as good in the Badger State, Scott, but there is a silver lining. So what occurred there?
Wisconsin is my home state. I grew up there, but moved out to the Washington, D.C. area in 2005. So it's been a while since I've been back in the dairy land, but this was really important because it determining control over the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And in a lot of states, the Supreme Court is an appointed position, right? That's what they do in Florida and many other states all around the country. But in Wisconsin, it is an elected position. And Brad Schimmel is a former attorney general of Wisconsin. He faced Susan Crawford. And unfortunately, you know, Wisconsin was a big swing state where I don't think the Republican Party won in 2024 with Donald Trump, but I think Donald Trump and MAGA got a lot of unaffiliated, independent, forgotten voters, soft Democrats to come out and vote for his message. And so this was more of like a red team versus blue team exercise with Schimmel against Crawford. And unfortunately, the Democrat prevailed here by about 232,000 votes, which was 10% of the electorate. And that's unfortunate because When you look at the county-by-county breakdown of how things swung, you're talking about Dane County, which includes Madison, Wisconsin. That was 81.7% to 18.3%. Then you slide over to Milwaukee County, and you've got Crawford winning 74.6% to 25.4%. Those margins just in those two major cities of Wisconsin determined the outcome of this election by far. And so those margins obviously dictated the outcome of the election for Susan Crawford. There is some good news, a little bit of silver lining that happened because there were other issues on the ballot, and Wisconsin did vote to adopt voter ID, which is obviously important to keep legal U.S. citizens in our elections and making sure that we don't have election fraud or irregularities. We got to restore integrity all across the states, and I think that that's important for Wisconsin to have done. It'll mean that when we have the governor's race in 2026 and other big, big races in the state of Wisconsin, that Wisconsin residents will have to show an ID to vote.
Switching now to what happened in the House of Representatives this past week, they adjourned abruptly, but an unusual fight over proxy voting.
The bill that was on the floor was actually the SAVE Act, which would require U.S. citizens to only be able to vote in U.S. elections. And there was this big fight over the rule, the procedure to taking up that legislation, and it included disposing of the discharge petition from Ana Luna that would allow for proxy voting for new mothers and those that are within like paternity leave, the male members of the Congress. A lot of controversy in the House right now over whether to allow for proxy voting. You know, many people think you need a constitutional amendment to do that. Obviously, Nancy Pelosi allowed for proxy voting during COVID, and that was abused to a massive degree by the Democrats. Some Democrats didn't show up for 6 months or even a year. And I think that that'll be an issue that continues to get adjudicated in the House. But we need to get the Donald Trump agenda back on track. And that means moving forward with things like the SAVE Act and reining in these rogue judicial judges.
We have been talking with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, typically we end with you telling us a bit about the club, so let's do that.
The website is clubforgrowth.org. We're united in economic freedom, liberty, and opportunity. Visit us and sign up for free to become a member.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.